This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshios Tazria and Mitzorah. It's also Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. And we begin, of course, Yishak Yisazria, when a woman gives birth to a baby. So one of the things she does, she has to bring a ben yonah or tor lechatas. So among the karbanos she brings is a dove or a turtle dove as a chatas. Now, what's the purpose of that chatas? So the late, great Professor Nachama Leibovich suggested that when a woman has given birth and experienced a closeness with her Creator in the process, and now after birth is aware of her smallest in the contrast to Hashem's creative ability, she feels the urge to bring a chatas. On realizing and appreciating the gap in her creative ability, she now is aware of her smallness, and so therefore she wants to be able to recognize it. We're told, and the bulk of the Parshios, that when a person gets saras, v'hubal Aaron HaKohen, he will go ahead to Aaron HaKohen. Now, the Torah tells us, in Adam roe nige asmo, Kohen can paskin on his own negoim. And the Mishnah's language is, kol negoim Adam roe chutz mi nige asmo. Why can't he see his own negoim? What's the big deal? So the Baal Shem Tov explains that, kol negoim Adam roe chutz mi nige asmo, if you want to see the messages that Hashem is sending you, look at the flaws you see in others. If you can see the flaw in another person, it must be a message that you also need to work on it as well. And the Peleoites adds that we're so good at identifying where others make mistakes, and we have a difficult time seeing our own imperfections. And that's one of the great lessons and important issues we perhaps need to think about. However, on the other hand, if kulo hafach lavan tahorhu, if a person's entire area becomes white, it becomes tahor. And the Gemara and Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Zayin uses this pasuk to describe the period of Mashiach's arrival, when chutzpah yazgeh, when impudence and insult will be rampant among the Jewish people. So why is whiteness that symbol to represent darkness? Rav Shecht used to quote to us from Rav Soloveitchik, who noted that while whiteness denotes clarity or lucidity, that which is rational or logical, a spiritually healthy person needs to be able to combine that lucidity together with the blue or the mystery and ambiguity and an esoteric. As being totally rational leads one to arrogance and ultimately to heresy. The contrast of Mashiach's holiness against his generation's heresy will be highlighted and meaningful, and something that we need to pay attention to. We're also told, lo hafach hanega es eino. We're told that in another instance, the nega doesn't change its appearance. Now, while Rashi, based on the Sifra, defines the word eino as its appearance, the Chidush Arim homiletically explains the word is also eino from the word ayin or I. And he cites the Gemara in Erechon on Daf Tezayin, which explains that the word can be and identifies tsaros ha'ayin as a narrowness of the eye as one of the seven things that causes a person to develop tsaras. And according to the Chidush Arim, what the Torah is trying to teach us over here is the reason why the nega is deemed tameh is because the individual didn't change his eye from looking at other people in a negative light and looking at others in a positive light. And so even as that the word nega and oneg are the same spelling except for the placement of the letter ayin, and the difference between affliction and pleasure is where the eye is. It's how we choose to look and how we choose to see. Shnei Tzipor, on the other hand, when we hit Parshas Metzorah, we're told that there's a way out of the process. And when a person wants to come to the end of his tzaras instance, he has a responsibility to go ahead and bring Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros. He has to take two live Tahor birds. Now, the Zohar mysteriously explains the carbon of two birds is necessary to bring one bird for bad speech and one for good speech. Rabbi Frand questions that statement. There's an apparent need to bring a carbon to atone for bad speech like Lashon Hara. But why does a person have to bring a chatas for engaging in good speech? So the Shem HaTov, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, explains that sometimes we have the opportunity to offer positive reinforcement and yet we're silent. In this situation, a person might think that they're doing nothing wrong. After all, nothing negative was said. And yet the lack of positive reinforcement can be just as demoralizing as negative speech, if not worse. And so therefore one doesn't need to bring a carbon for the bad speech, but even for the good speech or lack thereof, a person has a responsibility. Similarly, Rav David Miller pointed out that in Parshas Metzorah and Achrei Mos, we take two animals, and both animals are led to two very, very different destinies. And one, we said, we send one bird free to live, killing the other. And there seems to be no particular pomp to decide which one is which. And that's the way it works in Parshas Mitzora with the birds. And in the other one, on the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, one sawyer is sent to the cliff to his death, and the other killed to be offered as a korban. And there's this major elaborate ceremony as part of the Avodah of Gorolos to determine how each one dies. You think that the decision of life and death for the birds would be also significant, and that that would teach us how, at least to the same level of how each sawyer dies. But in truth, though, life and death is not in our hands, and it's not for us to fret over. It's in the hands of Hashem. How we lead our lives, Lashem or Lazazel, that's a weighty determination that's worthy of focus and celebration. And maybe that's perhaps the difference between the two. Finally, we're told that we shecht the bird Al Mayim Chaim, on the living waters. Rabbi Dr. Yonatan Grossman notes that there are a number of references in the text to the fact that the Metzorah experience is like an experience of death. After all, Chazal tell us the Metzorah is Chashav Kemes. At the same time, the sending of the Metzorah out of the Machne is like a mourning experience. He is, in essence, mourning himself. And yet, there's a notable transition. When the Metzorah begins his purification process, the word Chai appears numerous times. Live birds get used. The water's called Mayim Chayim. It's a transition from death to life. And that's what happens to the person in the Mitzvah process. Finally, in the Haftarah, which is the special Haftarah we read for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Yishayo Anavi helps us understand, similar to the Tzaraz, Ki Chalakam Yalda Tzion Espanea, Tzion was also ill, and also gave birth to its children. And the Haftarah describes the Geula and the return of the people in two very critical areas, the pangs of childbirth and the speed of delivery. And so in our Haftorah, the pains of labor are almost absent, and the speed is apparently very quick. Yet Micha and other sources seem to suggest that they're going to be strong labor pains. Yirmiyahu seems to suggest that the timing would be longer. So how are we supposed to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's return? Is it short? Is it long? Is it drawn out? Is it exceptionally long? Rav Rivlin, the former Mashgiach of Kerem Yavna, suggested that the reconciliation depends on us. If we're worthy, the pains will be limited and the speed will be quick. And if we're not, so then there'll be pains and the labor will take long time. It's all part of the concept that Rabbi Rivlin was famous for, the idea of Nevuah Nezila. It depends upon each of us to help the Nevuah come to the fore. And that's a message, perhaps, that we're supposed to take out, as we are also at the period of time of our opportunity to recognize that we are standing on the cusp of being able to explain and interpret the nevuos of our destiny. And if we do our best, those nevuos have the ability to be interpreted li Yisrael l'tov. It's our job to make it so. And when we do so, we will experience the ultimate, a Shabbat Shalom to all.